Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Afrita Love Show, where Jesus shines with love. I am your host on tonight, Dr. Afrita Love, and this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm so excited and delighted that each and every one of you is online, all of my family and my friends and my colleagues and those who are in the ministry. I really appreciate that. Be sure to call somebody, text somebody, tell somebody that the Afrita Love Show is on, and we are consistent with our listeners as we edit some more, but continue to let everyone know about the ministry, the show. We're going to begin by reading Psalm 136, verses 1 through 9. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him who made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. I read to you Psalm 136, Numbers 1 through 9. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, the doers, and the seekers of his holy word. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for blessing us as we were able to wake up this morning. You start us on our way. We ask that you bless each and every person on this ministry. Would you bless everything that we do to be prosperous? Would you help us to remain focused? And would you continue to bless us to reach the prize of the highest calling of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? We thank you, Heavenly Father, for everything you're doing and the things you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And I'm going to just sit back and I want to speak with you because all of my family is here in present, and you're listening and you've sent in questions, and I have projects that I want to speak about and upcoming shows and upcoming trips. And so this is very informal. Usually what I'll do if I'm interviewing someone is I will introduce my guest and then we will go over the questions and things that are, but this is all family related. And so it's more laxed. But what I do want to start out with is we're still praying and we're thanking God for the production of the first book. Actually, it's the second or maybe third book, but this is a huge project entitled Living with Faith, Love, and Hope. This particular book engages readers who are interested in adoption and the Christian faith. I hope to see this particular book in distribution stores, major stores, as well as on the big screen. The storyline within this book is a mother who is widowed, and she is trying to raise her three children, but without the financial aspects and love of her husband, she is caught in a situation that between her children and future. And so in order to create a better future, she joins the military and she reaches out to her family and community in order to facilitate and help her in a way that she can be the mother that she wants to be. And so we have a very trying time at the beginning and a happy ending with this particular story. And this particular book is for all readers. It is going through the editing process as well as it is also going through some packaging and all of that good stuff. But I will let you know. I will keep you posted with that particular book. So I want you to write down with faith, love, and hope. We're just making sure that we have all of our editing in place and things of that nature. The second book that I have going is the Parental Involvement book, and this is a guide, actually, that provides lingo for parents. I actually wrote this book about 11 years ago, and I published it myself, but now I have a distribution company that I'm going through, and I'm going to utilize to get that particular book in the hands of as many people as possible in order to educate and empower individuals to make better decisions for their children, for their students. The third book is entitled leading like you want to be led. That is one of the golden rules, do unto others as they would have done unto you. But leading like you want to be led. And, of course, I have many different questions on this book. This book is about a personal experience. It's a very interesting experience because it deals with the superintendent and her sister and her cousin who tried to sabotage a career by utilizing and paying people. I'm going to mention a gospel singer, civil rights, I wouldn't say a leader, but a civil rights person, and other individuals whom I will list, comedians, singers, gospel singers, other individuals I will list in the book. But one of the main aspects, and I know that we have a lot of our teachers on here from our family and our superintendent. How many superintendents? We have four. Somebody put in the chat box, we have four superintendents in our family. That's pretty darn good. With this, I want you to understand this is not going to be a book that bashes the superintendent because that wouldn't be professional. But this book is going to highlight the negligence, highlight the lack of integrity, and highlight the ineffectiveness of this leader. It doesn't matter what people do, especially if it's not anything pertaining to their skills or their job, but it's how you go about, if you even should go about, especially if it's on their personal time. But with this book, it's very interesting because you have what I found out, because I'm writing on paper now, you know, and I'm like on page 100. It's like, you got to be kidding. All these people who say they're leaders, like civil rights leaders, I'm just going to say civil rights leader, all these people, they're followers. They are paying people to sabotage a career. And that's the part that I want people to understand is you have people out there that look just like you. You may not be of the same background. You may have descendants from other places, but they look like you, and they do that yet in public. They say, I'm a civil rights leader, or they say, I'm a gospel singer. So you have all of these people. But the thing about it is we have a community of people who have integrity, and we are the minority because many of those people are followers. And we talked about a gentleman, well, this person by the name of Ernest, who is a gospel singer in Houston. And this guy is the one who spread this lie and started this bribery scheme. And it's a very interesting book because I'm going to give you the court papers. I'm going to give you everything. And so with this, this is a learning experience. It's not going to be a book that sabotages these people because they don't know any better. They're not leaders. And it doesn't matter what it says, what their beliefs are. Whatever a person chooses to be, that's them. And it doesn't have anything to do with them. And so what happened was her cousin, gets all of these people right. He's denying the fact of what really, of the truth. And he's got all these sponsors, and they're paying these people trying to sabotage a career. Basically, how the board votes, right, that's how a school's supposed to be governed. But because the systems are messed up, the systems are really messed up. I mean, seriously, it's like, my goodness. The systems are messed up. And so you write these things to these individuals who are supposed to hold these people accountable, and they don't. So these people are all out of control. And so this particular superintendent allowed this. And basically the lawyer said, yeah, if you pay, then we're not going to pay her what she's supposed to have, because whatever person chooses to do, that's their civil rights, right? But then you have a civil rights leader who wrote a letter, right? And, yeah, and so somebody put in the chat, wow. Yeah, and who wrote a letter, and they're still in this conspiracy. And so then you have people who say, well, I'm Cantor or what have you, and some of them, they are, but I don't consider them as that because my family, we're close. We're not dysfunctional. We're not money hungry or what have you, but they need money. And so these celebrities are paying them, which is hilarious. But the great, unique thing is God is going to repay. And so you have this individual, her cousin and her sister, and you have people who are saying they're my cousins, and they're not. You have these people. People say, tell me more, tell me more. I'm just giving you a synopsis. You have these people who are doing that. They think that they're blocking. You can't block God. But the thing is that because of the ineffectiveness of the superintendent, and because this is her people and she's getting paid too, then it's continuing on and on and on. Well, that wasn't the problem. The problem was then they began calling employers, her sister and this guy, her cousin, and other people. They would pay people to call. And Ernest up in Houston, they would call people, call employers, and they would send things to employers, and they would send letters and all this stuff. So that was the problem. But with this book, all of that's going to come out, you know. And there is no loss to any of those people that they've recruited to pay monies to. But you're going to be really surprised at some of the people that I mentioned in the book. Because how are you a civil rights leader and you're writing a letter that's violating someone's civil rights? That doesn't even make sense. But that's what followers do. And so with that, no, I'm not kin to these people. You guys asked me that several times. Dallas-Fort Worth, I have family up there by the name of Clara. I have nephews up there. But the rest of those two people, no, we're not related. They're just saying that, and they're using my name to make money. So, no. And so it's like a conspiracy, but they never did tell me. And so anytime that you're a leader, you have to communicate and tell people, and they never did. And so with this, and it's still ongoing, like it's been going on for 6 years, and that's not the problem. The problem is don't call employers, you know, or they'll say, well, the professor is being bribed, and that's a lie, you know, or they'll say, they'll make up somebody else's name, you know, just real childish. But it's going to be, this book is very interesting. Like, I was looking at the, I was looking at the pages, and so I'm like skimming through the pages, skimming through everything, and I'm going to start at the top, and I'm going to fill in the gaps. Like, I'm going to start back in 2016, and I'm going to move all the way to the present. And so what you have is these people, right, they're saying I'm kin, and then you have individuals who I've helped literally, you know, and these people, they would rather have money than to be honest. So money is their, basically their God. And so it's funny because I did not, I knew that I was MVP. What I mean by that, just MVP, you know, growing up MVP. But to have a conspiracy, to have these people, such as Miss King, such as Ernest, such as gospel singers, such as athletes, such as comedians, pay people money, I know that there's something greater in me that I haven't figured out. I know that for a fact. I know that my value is up there. And so with that, you know, you've got to learn as a leader, and I'm speaking to all of my family members, those of you who are in this, you have to learn as a leader that you have to throw some stuff away. It's kind of like, you know, when your inbox gets full, you have to delete some of those things and put them in the trash. And that's what I've done. And when I speak to people, I say, I still feel like everyone matters. Just everyone doesn't matter in my life. Every, you know, you have to come to that realization that because God created these people, you know, good actions, bad actions, and he created me too. You have to, these people are not significant. They matter to other people, but they just don't matter to me. And so everyone, that particular saying, everyone matters, just not to me. Especially if you do something like that. If you, you know, like I said, Ernest started this false information. And he, that's how the celebrities got it. And so you wondering that. He's the circuit for that. That's how they got it. And then they recruited. Like, it's like some of these people, I'm kin to Dr. Love. I'm kin. You're not kin to me. Why are you saying that? You're not kin to me. We don't even talk. How are you going to be kin to me? You know, just want to be attached to you because, you know, you have things going on. But this is a very interesting book. I know that y'all have a lot of questions about it. I'll try to answer as much as possible. But Superintendent Evertol is her sister that is the one who's been calling employers. And here's the deal. So when you're in the system, school system, or whatever system you're in, the question becomes, what do you do when you have a superintendent like that, a person like that? Like, I've never had one before, but this particular superintendent, you know, what do you do when you have them and they're not, they don't have any integrity, or they need money and they embezzle money? What do you do with that? And their sister's calling employers, right? How do you explain that? Well, you explain it in the because the simple fact is that when you go to explain, people are like, wow, because they believe that, in everybody's mind, they believe that superintendents are honest. They have integrity. They believe that lawyers are honest, and that's another thing. Lawyers writing letters that are not truth, even to the courts, right? And we talk, and that's a whole different ballgame because the system is messed up, the court system, because the lawyer, when you have one that doesn't have any integrity and they write letters that things are closed and they're really not, then that also obscures everything. And so people feel entitled to continue to do it. And so with this book, I'm just going to be very transparent, and I'm going to get it to as many people as possible, because I believe that we should have leaders with integrity, and we just don't, not with this particular scenario. And so with that, it's very important to understand that as a leader, you have to lead like you want to be led. I wouldn't want a leader who tried to sabotage my career, who allowed people, I mean, these are people from, you know, people that are not even working. You know, you're enabling these people by paying them, allowing them to be paid, and the superintendent's getting paid too. It's like, who's holding these people accountable, you know? And then when you go to speak, whether it's a meeting, a board meeting, or what have you, then you don't get anywhere because the person that's sitting in the decision-making seat is a crook. And so what do you do with that? And so in this book, you're not going to – I'm just speaking to family. So I'm using those words, and I had to pray to God that I use words that are not that I use, you know, words to describe, regular words to describe. But what do you, you know, what do? When you go to these meetings to speak and the person sitting as the decision-making is a crook, you know, embezzle money, and that's your sister who's writing these letters and your sister who's calling, what do you do? Well, you write a book. Well, especially when the system is messed up, then you have a lawyer who's crooked. Nobody in that circle has integrity. What do you do? You see what I'm saying? Whatever person chooses to be or whatever they want to be, that's them. As long as they come to your establishment and do what they're supposed to do, then that's it. You shouldn't get in it. And so with that, the book describes lead how you want to be led, you know. And all this stuff will come back, and you'll get your repayment. And God will repay, you know, according to our deeds. And all these people, just to get that out there too, because I see the question. No, these people aren't kidding me. The two people in Dallas and Fort Worth, or the four people, whoever it is, you know, that's making up this lie, they're not kidding me. I don't ever want to see them or talk to them again. You understand? And so with that, like I said, everyone matters. They just don't matter to me, especially when you do something like that, make up something like that. And so when we look at it on the realm side, it's not even, I mean, it's totally make-believe. You know what I'm saying? It's not even about what you believe and what you don't. And so when you have a system like that, and then you have people, professionals, right, that this person has sponsors to pay too, I want you to be real. I don't want you to grin in my face, and then behind my back you're trying to sabotage my career. You know, and so we talk about that. How do you deal with that? You know, of course, prayer and supplication, yeah. But you basically, you just have to be very mindful, and you have to keep your eyes open at all times. It doesn't mean that you go off. You understand? But when you want to progress, right, you don't tell everybody your accomplishments, and then you definitely don't tell everyone your moves, period. For instance, like with this, because of the ineffectiveness, so you have these same individuals that are calling jobs, they call colleges, they call publishers. It's like, you know, we kind of call it, you guys call it stalking, you know, but that's basically what it is. And so you have this conspiracy, and you're like, why is this, like, you know, who chose this person? You know what I'm saying? I'm just talking to y'all. Who chose this person? Now, that's not going to be in the book, but seriously, this person's appointed. I can understand why. I could totally understand. Maybe nobody wanted it. I have no idea. But whatever a person chooses to be or whatever a person does and they're grown, that's their business, as long as they don't bring that stuff to work. And so putting your conflict of interest, your family in it, you know, that's your sister. And, you know, when you talk to people in my conferences, you know, this is the superintendent's sister. This is people who are saying they're kin to me, which I don't claim any of them. I still don't understand why they're claiming me, because I don't claim them. But putting your sister in this, and your sister calling different jobs, and because you're the superintendent and abusing your power, and because we have the lawyer who's also bagging, then you've lost out on so many opportunities. That's a problem. So anyone will write about that, or anyone would ask about that, and then you're trying to pretend like you haven't done anything, right? And then you want to give false information and pretend like, you know, woe is me. And so with that, what do you do with that? That has never happened. That's a very unique experience when you try to act like you're the sheep and you're really the wolf. You understand me? And so that's the situation, you know, when you have those different elements, those different factors within a system, and, you know, it's not real. So with this bribery, we call it conspiracy bribery. It's the superintendent's sister, it's her cousin. And then it's all these people who they recruited, you know. We talk about Meta. It's no longer Facebook. These people have went on to Facebook, and they've contacted all these people. And it's people who say, well, we're cousins, we're kin, we're not. And those four people up in Fort Worth, Dallas, they're not kin to me. I have no idea who they are, but they're not kin to me. And they continue to say, we're kin, no. They're not blood related, they're not kin to me. Because my family, we're close, you know. Some of those people I don't even talk to, but they're kin to me. Okay. But anyway, so everyone, the whole concept is everyone matters. Every person, even them, every person matters. They just don't matter to me. You know, they matter to somebody, just not me. You know, and so that's the concept that you take, you know, and you have to understand that. And then, you know, as far as leadership, you know, I remember shadowing a long time ago, and I would not be like that, period. You know, you have to take care of your people. You have to keep things confidential. And you can't allow, you have to take care of people's career like you would want somebody to take care of yours. And so even with this, I'm very appalled, because you have a civil rights leader who wrote a letter. Lady, you don't even know me. You have no idea what occurred, but you're jumping on everybody's bandwagon. And then when we research the family history, then we see, you know, we see the tragedy that happens when you jump on bandwagons. You know, we see all of those things when we go back historically instead of getting all, receiving all the information. Then you have a gospel singer, Ernest P. What in the world is he doing? Have no clue what he's doing. You know, writing letters and just being childish, you know, into other people's affairs and business, and you shouldn't be. And so you have all these people that basically you're wondering, do they have a life? Because they probably not. But, you know, they're paying people. And that's why in society we have people who think that stealing is right. We have people who think that robbing is right. We have people that think that killing is right. Because they're sending the wrong messages. And I don't care if they're civil rights leaders. I don't care who their daddy was, their mama was, whoever. It's you. And so when you don't make the right decisions, then that's on you. That's not on your mama or your daddy or anybody else. And so some things is your business and some is not. And when it deals with somebody else, it's not your business, period. Because you wasn't there and you don't have the whole story. But when we speak about the conspiracy bribery theory, we understand that as a leader, you have to tell people, you have to communicate with people that never was communicated, you know. Yeah, it never was communicated. And so, right. And so, you know, and then looking at, you know, the ethnicity of this leader, you wonder why there is a slim number. You know, get bad for people coming up behind you because of your leadership skills. And they, you know, people sometimes put everyone in a box and think that we're all alike. Some of us are from different places. We're not even from our ancestors are not even from the U.S. And so what this particular person does has no is no indication of who I am or who the next person who's coming up is. But it's just a bad example, and it makes them look bad. And when I say them, those individuals who manipulate, steal, and bribe and all that, it's kind of like an expectation. You know, you have to set the bar as a leader, and you have to set the example, because leaders like this have set bad examples. And so when you go out to apply for a position, a higher position, you know, whether it's principal, whether it's superintendent, assistant superintendent, then you have to prove yourself, because we already see the effect of one here. And then it's very scary, as we have about 2%, right, who are minorities. And you know, that's a huge indication. But at the same time, you just have to understand that there are people out there. You know, I tell people you have to – you don't even have to know people. I'm wondering, how did Ernest get in this? Who is he to judge? You know, and I research him, and there's things. And, you know, who is the king? I mean, what is she doing? You know, does she have something better to do? She's, you know, civil rights leader. That's my civil rights, whatever I do. And so you have those plethora of things that will be addressed in the book. And it's not going to throw anybody under the bus by any means, but sometimes we put people in the wrong seat. You know, as a leader, you have to keep stuff confidential. You can't be money hungry. You can't be money hungry because you're over the budget. You know, we can't have lawyers writing letters. You know, whatever a person does, they do it. Look at yourself in the mirror and make sure that you're right. You know, and we talk about that. So the book should be out like in March or April. We understand that. You know, people are money hungry, and so that's not the problem. You know, that never was the problem, people being money hungry or needing money and lying and all that. That wasn't the problem. The problem is when you have a superintendent and her sister who's calling different employees, or a superintendent and her cousin who's calling different employees, making up things, and the lawyer's backing it. And then you have opportunities, and because this is the superintendent or because this is lawyer, then you miss out on those opportunities. And so it's very important, as I said before, to get the word out of the truth of what is occurring. This is not a fairy tale. This is not make-believe. You know, most conferences you attend, such as a law conference, which this lawyer, they have a huge establishment in Austin, they give different scenarios. Well, this is not a scenario from somebody else. This is my story. You know, this is what occurred, what happened. And so, but God has blessed me throughout those years, because I was able to reach so many new teachers. I was a consultant. I still have that business, writing books. And I had some time to really reflect and think, you know, spend time with my family, my mom, and all that good stuff. But at the same time, you know, I feel like you try to rob me. You try to sabotage. And that's the part that we were talking about. And, you know, the systems are messed up. You know what I'm saying? Because you know I would have faced that just face-to-face. But when we talk about the lawyer, too, no integrity when she writes letters to get out of things. But with that, all of that stuff is going to be in the book. And so you will be able to see it. Of course, you know, my true, what I'm really, some of the words that I'm really thinking about would not be in the book, but it'll be professional. And like I said, it's not a case study. It's my story, you know, and it's very unique. I am a minority, and my values aren't, you know, from where I come from, my ancestors. You know, we have high values, high goals. We're not dysfunctional, all these people that's, you know, we're kin. They're not part. They never was part of my life or my circle. The people who were part of my circle were not dysfunctional. You know, we take care of each other. Those people, they never was a part of it. Never was. Never invited them to anything, none of that, but yet they're my cousins. I don't understand. But anyway, anything to make a dollar, I guess. I don't know. But that's what the book is about. But I will tell you this. When that occurred, I had a great supporters, and my most biggest supporter that really 100% is my mom. You know, she's one of my big supporters. She always supports and everything. But I had a time of my life. I had, I mean, you know, making my own schedules, getting up at 9 and 10 o'clock, going out of town, working with new teachers and giving professional development, going to Dallas, Fort Worth, different places in Central Texas, you know, Crockett, all those different places. But, you know, you just have to be aware. Everybody who maybe look like you, everybody who sounds like you, everybody who may think like you is not for you. I would never in my years, and that's in the book too, imagine that she would do something like that, because the person that I'm speaking about, she was a counselor at first. You know, counselors are supposed to be that social-emotional. They're not supposed to be conniving, liars, embezzlers. They're not supposed to be like that, but she is. But, you know, when I was a kid, in my mind, you know, I thought that she was like the president or something. You know what I'm saying? I really, it was a lot of admiration. But now it's like, you know, you're not, you know, in my perspective, in my eyes, you haven't made it yet. And none of us have made it. But what you did, you shouldn't have. Period. You know, it's none of your business. Some things are and some things aren't. And so you just have to be very honest. You have to be professional and honest. And that's it. I mean, you know, and we wonder why there's so few who look like that. And that's why, because they, those individuals who have that spirit, that mentality, that's what they do to each other. You understand what I'm saying? And so it's an expectation. And so that's why with me, right, I don't too much put a lot of leverage in that, you understand. But I'm pretty much, you know, my role models are pretty much, they're transparent. They're transparent, and that's just how it is. But that book, because I have a lot of, have a lot of questions that I'm answering as I'm speaking, you know, that book is very important to me, because that's going to be with me for, that book is going to be with me forever, because I will be giving presentations. Even when I become a greater administrator, that book will be my Bible, because that is my personal story. One thing that you have to learn in life, you know, and I love Whitney for this, and as you all know, I'm a Whitney Houston fan. I love Whitney Houston. I'm so saddened that she's not here. If I tell you this, you would not believe this, but I remember when I heard it on the news that she passed away, I'm not kidding you, the night before, I dreamed of that. And whether you believe it or not, it doesn't matter, but I dreamed of that. But anyway, back to Whitney Houston. She said, learning to love yourself is the greatest love of all. I've never learned to love myself. I've always loved myself. I've always felt, not in an arrogant way, but I've never hated myself, but not in an arrogant way, but I've always felt that I could do better. And I've never been hard on myself, you know, as far as just being down on myself. I said, okay, you got to get back up. But for all the other people, you have to learn, or you have to begin to love yourself. You know, I was reading an article about a little girl who was in fifth grade, maybe. She was in elementary. She committed suicide because people were bullying her. They were bothering her. And believe it or not, with this conspiracy, with the superintendent and her sister, it's not bullying as far as bullying as in, you know, I mean, it's cowardness, but it's not bullying. But it could be perceived as that because you're calling people, and it could be a harassment as well. So you have to look at it both ways. And I try to tell people, I'm back on the radio. I've been on the radio. I've just been in L.A.'s radio, and sometimes I would get on Blog Talk. But I see that many of our young people, you know, they're going through problems in school. It's because of people. Like with that same spirit as the superintendent, assistant, all those people who are conspiring, and the civil rights leader, all these big people, you know, they think they're big, but they're really not. in the small world, when we deal with elementary students, when we deal with kids, it's different because they don't know how to filter out those people. They don't understand that everybody matters, but it doesn't. They don't matter to you. They don't understand that. All they know is that I'm here at school, I have to see these kids every day. They're teasing me. They're bothering me. And that's all they know. They don't have an outlet. You know, they go to the counselor, you know, They may understand, they may not, you know. But you as a person, you have to have it in you, the inner part of you. You know, although you had a civil rights leader, supposedly, and you have all these people in the world, public, you know, in my mind, that's my business. I'm grown. I don't care. But other people don't think like that, right? And so just because you have all of this, you still have that inner inside of you that says that you have grit and that you're strong. And so even in that book, you know, I want people to understand that you're going to have to be the one, whether you're a parent, whether you're auntie or uncle, anyone, you're going to have to be the one to give that student the grit. They don't understand that. They don't understand people like who have the spirit, like the superintendent's sister or her cousin or whoever it is, or these people that say they can't. They don't understand that. They don't understand how the fact that everybody matters. They just don't matter to you. They don't understand that. So as a parent, how do you get that through to your child? Well, you have to ingrain that in them. You have to teach them when they're young. It's okay to be by yourself and have fun. Meet whoever when you get there. You know what I'm saying? As far as friends or what have you, or acquaintance or what have you. But it's some people out there that are treacherous. They have no idea, you know, and you wonder, you know, I'm looking at this list of people, and I'm like, how did this, who is this person? Do they have a life? You know, you're a singer. You're a civil rights leader. What are you, I don't understand, you know. I know I'm MVP, but wow, you know. But, you know, that's just, you know, when we talk about that, that's just, you know, we talk about that in education, in our education group as a family. You know, I said, you know, I threw it out there to my family members. We have 20 of them who are in education. And I said, you know, this is the superintendent's sister. I said, this is the superintendent's cousin. I said, what do you do when you go apply for a job? I said, and you don't put her name down. I said, then they think, oh, you're hiding something, and you're actually a phenomenal worker. Here are the reference letters right here. I said, but when they call your superintendent, because they're dishonest and because they are money-hungry and because that's their sister and because that's their cousin, they make up something, right? What do you do? Well, of course, you pray to God, yeah, but you have to get the word out. What happens when the system's messed up? What happens when they use the system to their advantage to pretend like they're the sheep, to pretend like they're so innocent? What do you do with that? You write a book. You get the word out because the systems are so messed up. What happens when you take these things to court, right? And the lawyer who's supposed to be have integrity, right, and who know that it's illegal to write to different jobs and to not tell people what's going on, what do you do then? You write a book. You have to get the word out there. You have to educate people, right, because people think, well, I'm winning because I do this every day. This has been happening, guys, 6 years, right? I didn't get privy to it until I started applying for jobs. And someone told me, they said, do you not know that the superintendent, not current, but is doing this? No idea. And so you have to be savvy. You have to be privy to those things. You know, this is a real life story. It's true. These are true stories. This is not made up. This is not to make up a story to be on TV and all that. No, this is a true story to get out there, because there are some sharks out there. Whether you're on your way out for retirement or what have you, you know, you don't have any integrity. And so you can't make this stuff up. This is the real deal. This is the real deal, Holyfield. And I'm very proud, you know, I'm asking your questions as I'm speaking. Yes, I'm very proud of myself because I grew up as a strong woman. You know, my mother, my grandmother, and the people that I consider who are really my family, we're close. They played an important role in my success. They always instill that in me. You're going to have to be strong. You're going to have to, and being strong doesn't mean that you don't have emotions. It means that there are some people out there who's going to be haters. They didn't say that word, but there are some people out there who are going to be jealous. There are some people out there who don't want to see you succeed. And you have to come to that realization. It doesn't matter who the person is. It doesn't matter that they look like you. It doesn't matter that they were once poor and now they have some type of change. It doesn't matter. What matters is, are you able to sustain yourself and keep your emotions in check? and use the power and knowledge that you have to get the word out so that you can educate other people, right? I don't believe in the race theory. I don't believe in prejudice because you have some people who look just like you, and that goes for all nationalities who are prejudiced against you. So I don't believe in this black, white, Hispanic thing. I don't. We're all human beings. That's how I see it. And, you know, I see people, and some people are prejudiced, and they look just like you. What do you call that? Inner prejudice. What do you call that? And so I don't believe in that. As a matter of fact, I don't celebrate different holidays that celebrate that. I really don't, because I don't believe in it, because I don't buy into it, because everyone is not on the same page anyways, as far as race and all of that. You know, you have colored people, you know, who's against each other, they're killing each other, and you have different types of people who are, you know, within the same race, hurting each other, and, you know, that happens in all races, you know, and you have that, and that's just the fact of the matter. So I don't believe in this race theory. I just don't. It's not real. And just like with this conspiracy, you know, you have someone who is, we look the same, but we don't have the same values. Our ancestors are not from the same place. We don't come from the same place. We don't think alike. And you're trying to sabotage my career because of your own prejudice that is unreal, that you've made up. You've created this. You know, so I don't believe in, I don't celebrate January or February. I really don't, because it's there is no reason to. You know, I used to. I really did. I used to. But as I got older and began to research, I was like, why? You know, we're all humans. And so because we're all humans, then there's prejudice everywhere, you know. You know, same, there's, it is. It's no different. And so with this book, you know, that's what we have. And so with this whole conspiracy, we know that the superintendent allows that. We know that, you know, it's allowed. And all you have to do is be honest. You know, the board voted, do what's right. But instead, you chose to take the lesser road. And so that's the gist of that. And it's not complaining. That's just how it happened. And that's it. I mean, that's just what the book is about, you know. That's what it's about. And so because that's what it's about, it's to help other people. It's not geared towards, well, if you are a minority, because, okay, both of us are, and you have chosen to take the less role. You've chosen to make up this false fallacy, and you try to, you know, basically sabotage a career. That's crazy. And then it's all over money. And then you have researched and looked up people, and you've people that say, oh, I'm kin to her. You're not kin to me. You know, you have to leave those people behind. They matter. They just don't matter to you, you know. And so you have to look at it in that regard. Somebody, somewhere, care about them, love them. You know, we all love everyone, but someone somewhere care about them more than you do. Let them continue, because they're nothing but hindrances in your life. Anybody that does that, you know, and but the whole point is just getting the word out. That's it. Just getting the word out and making sure that other individuals, it doesn't happen to them. And unfortunately, you know, it's not about race. You know, it's not about that, because, and I don't believe, that's my rationale for not celebrating. I don't celebrate January. I don't celebrate February. Those days, I treat it like any other day, you know. But that's it. I mean, that's basically all there is, you know. Was I surprised? Yeah, of course. So, well, yeah, I was when I started applying for jobs. Yeah, and somebody told me this. Hey, look, they said, this is what you got going on, you know. And that's whatever people do in their personal life. That's their personal life, you know, because you're not perfect. And so, when you have a system that's messed up, whether it's the judicial system, whether it's the court system, whatever it is. Then you have to learn how to navigate through writing and using your skills, using your talents that you have. You know, you just, that's just a must. You just have to do that, you know. So that's how that is. But, yeah, so, yeah. So, you know, we talked about that, you know, and I see a lot of, I see in the chat, yes, we sure did. We talked about that. I said, what do you do? I said, it's the superintendent's sister and a cousin that's calling school districts, you know, and you don't put their name down, then what? Oh, you hide some? No, you just have some superintendents that's not, doesn't have integrity, and she happens to be one. And that's just it, you know. I remember, I'm just talking to you guys as a family, I remember speaking to some people way before all of this, some things transpired, and they told me, they said, man, they said, I had to leave. You know, they couldn't, and I said, why? I couldn't understand. I really couldn't, because in my mind, my perspective was, this person's okay, you know. But, you know, experience is the best teacher, right? Experience is the best teacher, but I can't say that I've been many places, and this is a first. This is a first. And, you know, when I researched, you know, and I attend meetings on that level, there is a few, far and few and in between, and I can understand, especially if people, no matter who they are, have a perception that, you know, people of who look like that is like that, then I can understand why there's a shortage. But it's not. You have to break that cycle. Everybody does not lack integrity. Everyone does not sit quietly. Some people, everyone is not confrontational. They will write about it because they want to remain good, you know. And then when the system's messed up and they act like they're the victims, you know. And we see that a lot. When I was reading that article about that little girl, you know, the people who were taunting and bothering her, they wanted to act like the victims. You're not. The little girl is, you know. And so it goes, it's a tension, it's a pendulum, right? And so you just have to do what you have to do. And so that's it. I always trusted in God. I always had faith in God. I didn't feel like I lost anything. You know, when I found out who it was, these people are not characters in my life. You know, my mind goes to playwriting, and they're not main characters. They're not extras. They're not anything. And so they matter. Somebody, somewhere in this world, they matter to somebody, not me. And so that's how you have to think about it, instead of saying, you don't matter. No, everyone matters. It's just that some people matter in my life and some people don't. And it's not a loss, you know. It's not a loss. And so when we think about that aspect, somebody say, well, how did I feel? Well, I didn't feel anyway. I have a belief. And my belief system is that I believe that this is ineffectiveness. I believe that this is a conspiracy. I believe there are people as jealous, especially when you get celebrities to pay off people. I believe that, or to write. I believe that at this time, the leader didn't have my best interest in mind. I believe that wholeheartedly, the lawyer either. And so with that, you know, we have to learn how to, because we have power as well. It's just that when you're not told, then you have people who do anything. You know, then when you find them out, then all of a sudden they want to stop. Well, keep that same energy. You know, we're cousins. No, we not. We're not cousins because it is. No, it's not that. We never was. You never did play a role in my life. You didn't. And so losing or saying that you don't matter as far as my goal, you don't, you know. But because you haven't been anything but a hindrance, or you tried to be, right, calling schools and calling colleges and calling professors. sisters. You know, this is superintendent's sister, and this is people. We're cousins. We're not cousins. You talking about we cousins. So, yeah, of course, I'm human. You know, I, you know, how did I feel? Like I said, I have a belief, and my belief is you don't matter, but the word will get out, period. That's just how it is. And when systems are messed up, you know, you want to pretend like you're just so innocent and you're the cause of the problem, you know. And so I'm going to talk about all that in the book. You know, it's just one of those things that needs to be discovered, especially if you're going into leadership. Like I said, this is not a scenario. You know, I remember in college reading, and we're just talking. Y'all talking about, tell me more. I remember in college, you know, reading case studies. We would read case studies about things like this. What would you do? You know, when I was sitting up in Baylor in class, we read about case studies. And, of course, we would research and we would have our own perspectives, but this is real. Everything in the book is real. This is not a case study. This is not something that I heard, something that I learned at school. This is real. And when you have a superintendent that's like that, you have to get the word out, because people's expectations is they're going to be have integrity. You know, when you go to different or write to different service centers, and then the superintendent writes, there's nothing occurring when there is, they're going to believe that because you're the superintendent. And so the lack of integrity is foremost important. In dealing with any type of situation like that, just the lack of integrity. You don't have any integrity, but people believe that. And I feel that for even kids, you know, if you have children and you have, just say, maybe someone who's an icon or someone who's in authority, like a lawyer or something like that, they're going to pretty much say, oh, the kid's making that up. When the kid's not making that up, that's true, you know. And so using your power, basically another component is using their power. I'm a superintendent. I'm a lawyer. I'm an officer. I'm this or that, to cover up or obstruct the truth. That's a problem, too, because you have to have people with integrity, right? You just have to. Everyone has to have a role in integrity. And you can sit up there, you know, I tell people, you can sit up there and say this or that, but it didn't happen to you. So you don't know how people feel. You don't know what people believe. You don't know what people should do because it's not you. Matter of fact, you could have been involved in the conspiracy. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? Who knows? But to say that you're a civil rights leader or to say that you're a gospel singer and you act prematurely, or you don't have information, or you just jump on a bandwagon, and when I research you, I see assassination, and I see just tragedy, you know, when we look at history, because of people jumping on bandwagons, then that says a lot about you as a follower, right? Because you can't jump on everybody's bandwagon. You can't do what everybody does. And so that's just part of it, you know. You cannot. And so, you know, we read about all these things in the books and, you know, wonder why. You know, why did these people put themselves in harm's way? Well, because they jump on every bandwagon. Every time something occurs, you have to be there. You have to run to it. You don't. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, just researching and looking at all these things and historically and things like that, that's important, you know. But, of course, we want to always make sure that when we write books, that we do it with dignity and pride, you know. And that's part of it, you know. But utilizing your power, well, I'm a civil rights leader, so I'm going to write a letter, and you have no clue what's going on. You wasn't there. You just know part of the story. Something was shared with you. You have no idea what happened before. You have no idea what happened after. You know, that tells me that you're a follower, you see, and tells me that you probably need to find something to do because you're in the wrong business. But that's just how it is. you know. But with that question, you know, we're going to wrap this up, this part up at least. But with that question, no, I'm not related to them. I'm not just saying that because of their conspiracy, but I'm not related to them. And I don't, no, I'm not. I'm just letting you know that right now. So if they say we cousins, she said she not. Listen to that record. It's true. I'm not. I have Aunt Clara up there. I have Aunt Clara's people. Their name, that's not their name. Their name is not similar to mine. Their name is not Jean. Their name is not Alfreda. None of that. They not kin to me. But Aunt Clara is. I have some other people up there, but they are not related at all. So let's just make that clear. So, no. The people who play a significant role in my life, right, we're not dysfunctional. We're not hard up. None of that. You know, we're not. That's just how it is. So that's it. I mean, that's all I have to say. You know, but I do know that it continues to go on because of the superintendent. I do know that. I know that. And I do know that it's her sister and her cousin, right? I do know that. And I do know that they probably looked on Facebook and got all these people's names and started calling them. I do know that. I also know that, like I said, the civil rights, supposedly, follower of King, and I do know singer Ernest, I do know that they were some integral parts in it. I do know that, and that'll be in the book. Now, whether... Exactly. Exactly. Oh, that's my cousin right there. Yeah. Whether or not, you know, we put everyone else in there, we're definitely putting that, you know. These people actually know. They signed when I was ready to go to court, you know. But like I said, the lawyer... Once again, using your power, right, you send the letter. And so what do you do then? You know, we talk about that. And there's not many superintendents who could answer that question because it never happened to them. When you have a superintendent that has no integrity, because we learned that you should put every work experience, and we do. And what if you call them, and because they don't have any integrity, they make up something? Or if you put them down, right, because they receive the references, the reference letters, and their sister gets it, and their sister calls the district. What do you do then? You know, there's just so this will be very interesting because this is not some random person off the street, except her cousin and all these other people who say, I'm her cousin. They not kidding me. But this is her sister. What do you do then? Has that ever happened to you? Type yes or no in the box. Only the educators. Has that ever happened where a superintendent's sister is calling school district and sending letters? See there, everybody. It's 20 no's. So you're going to tell me, right? You're going to tell me that we have to put these people down as references or as our experience when you have 8 or 9 years of experience there. This is not like some random, as I said, some random person from the street. This is a supervisor. This is her sister who's not even in the education system. But she has access because when you send different, in the past, when you send different references, it goes to her. And, of course, she tells her sister. And her sister then, what, calls or send letters to school. So what do you do? Nobody can answer that question. I'm the expert on that. What did I do? Well, you got to get the book and see. you have to buy the book. Or here's another one, another thing. So I'm a radio host, right? Everybody know that. So I also want my guests to say, hey, I had this lady or I had this man call me. You know, it was them, right? But that's on me. I should be able to put stuff up there. But these are the type of people they are. They'll call people. And then they'll call me and tell me, you know, these people called. I said, I know who it is. It's that conspiracy group. But they won't call me, though. They'll call the guests. They'll call organizations. They'll call everybody else except me. You see what I'm saying? So that's a problem. And so, you know, that's just how it is. And so, you know, I have, that's my unique story. Nobody else has that story but me. I can sit in the superintendent's meetings and sessions. Nobody has that story but me. What do you do? This is a superintendent's sister. What do? You a superintendent, right? You in charge. But when you was an administrator, right, did your superintendent's sibling call people? You know, like that. So, yeah, that's how it is. And I'm very proud of myself because, like I said, I'm my own support. I believe in God. I support myself, my mom, my family who actually play a role in my life, and I have a whole bunch of supporters. I have a whole bunch of people. So it's not a loss, you know. I don't have to pay people. I don't have to do none of that, and I wouldn't dare. The stuff that they're doing, like calling jobs and stuff, even knowing that it's the superintendent and her sister, who is retired, she don't even work, I wouldn't call the school district and do some of the stuff that they do because it's childish, it's unprofessional, and it's unethical. And I don't want to be that type of leader. I want to write a book because it's nothing but facts. I don't want it to happen to somebody else. I know that there are minorities, and I want people to know. One of the purposes of this book is for people to know that all of us are not like that. Some of our ancestors didn't come from the U.S. Some of our ancestors are from Brazil and other places. We have values. We don't embezzle money. We don't take from other people. We don't put each other down. We don't try to sabotage careers. We don't get stalk people on Facebook and contact people to try to sabotage people's career. That's not what I'm about. It doesn't matter that she did that. It doesn't matter that we're the same skin tone. I'm not like her. I'm not kin to her. My ancestors did not come from the same place hers did. And I want to get that message out there because there is a perception that, you know, when you look at what happened a long time ago in Atlanta, you know, you can't take care of the budget. You know, it's always centered around money. Okay, well, I'm different. I believe in being ethical. I believe in keeping books. I don't have to take money, embezzle money. I don't do that, you know. And so you have to get the message out there. This book is not to, it's not going to throw anybody under the bus. It's going to be like, this is the fact. This is what happened. This is what I did. And this is how to solve the problem, period, you know. And people, of course, some of those people in there, they're not going to believe them. Say, here is the paper, the court paper. Right? Nobody, who wants to go to court? Nobody wants to go to court. But that's the only way. And it wasn't about, guys, it wasn't about the job that I was supposed to have there. It wasn't about the money. It was about the fact that you continue to call people and you continue to follow. And what I mean by follow, I'm not talking about on Facebook. I'm talking about employers, because your sister is one of the main characters in this conspiracy. I had to put down their names because I spent 9 years there. It wasn't because I wanted to. I had to because there would have been a gap, right? And so you do that, and then she gives it to her sister or the assistant superintendent or whoever, and then they start calling. Okay? Is that fair to me? No, it's not. That's a problem. And so I don't want people, because everyone knows, right? And look who's at the top. Look who's leading this. Look how they look. All of us are not like that, and I'm definitely not. I'm not money hungry. I'm not going to steal and embezzle from the school district. I'm not going to do any of that. I'm not going to dare try to sabotage somebody's career. I would rather give them a reference letter if they don't fit within the realms of the job description and let them go somewhere else where they do. And so it's very important that this book is out, and it's not about, it's really not even about me. It's about, this is what happens sometimes in leadership. This is how leadership looked. We are all not like that. These are the people who you would think are leaders who wrote letters or who made phone calls, right? These are the people who say, I'm her cousin or I'm her family, right? And some of them I grew up with, but they're not kin to me. If that makes any sense. They're not related to me. We're not related. We don't have the same beliefs. We don't, none of that. Okay? So just to make it clear that we're not all alike. And that's what that book is about. Because it's few of us. And I don't want people to think or to have that indication that we're all alike, because we're not. We're key, we relate. No. Taking money to rob and to sabotage somebody's career, I wouldn't do that. And I still wouldn't do that, even when I know who the people are. I'm not going to be that immature. As superintendent, if she was in my shoes, I wouldn't do that. I'd let her go on. Leave her alone. Let her go on, be successful in her career. But everybody don't think like that. And she's one that's not like that. So that's what the book is about. You know, it's not about, you're not going to see anything in there about any type of choice words or anything. You'll see professionalism, and this is what you do. Because there's no superintendent in Texas. I can speak for Texas. That has ever experienced that with a superintendent's sister, of all people, or a family member. There's not one. And so my story is unique. You know, most of the time, like I said, you go to these conferences, you're going to hear about law conferences, scenarios. Or you're going to hear the lawyer may say, I presided over this, but it didn't happen to you. And so, you know, I want you to be cognizant when you read this book. It's not your story. It's not, you didn't wear my shoes, right? So you have to understand my perspective. You have to understand where I'm coming from. So I just wanted you guys to know that. I hope I answered all of your questions while I was talking, while I was speaking. I checked them off. And then, you know, even professionals, these people will call people who I work with. And some of those people, like they told me, they say, yeah, some of those people, they need money. And so they'll do anything for money. You know, it's kind of like somebody who, I guess, it's conducive to the people who work the streets. You know, they need money, so they'll do practically anything for it. But what do? When you see these people, you know, you don't act a fool with them, of course, but you got to keep your eyes open, you got to keep your ears open, you can't trust everybody, you know, you can't get close to everyone, you know, and that's your prerogative, that's how you deal with it, that's how you deal with it, as long as you deal with it in a professional manner. And so that's just it. And so, you know, like I said, even when this first occurred, my mom's, you know, she always reads her Bible, she reads it all day, every day, morning, noon, and night. And she said, well, just pray about it. And I'm going to pray about it and write about it and write about it as well, you know, because I want to be successful and I want to make sure that I go about it in a professional way. Although it's very unethical. I don't like all against me. You see what I'm saying? Just doing something just to be doing it because you're a follower. You have no clue what's going on. But we do have people like that. I was trained for that. I was born for that. You know, my mom, they trained me like that. You know, I don't have to depend on people to feel good about myself. I don't have to do that. But I have to depend on God. There's someone I have to depend on. So that's just it. That's about it. You know, I'm going to stop talking about that. But I think I answered everyone's questions. I believe I did. Yes. Yeah, I did. Let me see. Let's see. I'm looking at the questions before I talk about our events and stuff. Let me see. Yes, I answered that question. Okay. Yep, I answered it. Okay. Okay, so I believe that I answered all the questions. If I didn't, then y'all know my phone number. But I wanted to make sure I got that on the radio because I'll leave my family members are here at one time. Okay. So start thinking about a movie that we're going to watch this weekend, family movie, probably on Saturday. We're going to watch it on Zoom. Bring your popcorn. What else? I'm trying to think. Oh, birthday. So we have Aunt Clara's birthday is on the 15th. My birthday's on the 18th. It's only two birthdays. OK, Okay, my late grandpa's birthday was on the 22nd. So that's all the birthdays we have. But just make sure that you wish everyone a happy birthday. And let's see what else we have. Okay, events. As I said before, I received an invite. Okay, so Tupac has a museum in Los Angeles. So be sure to visit that if you're in Los Angeles. Whitney Houston has a boutique shop. We're going to actually order some things because I want to go visit her museum as well. In addition to that, in Las Vegas, there is a speaking conference for Women of Power, and it is in Vegas, and I'm one of the speakers. That's my excuse for going to Vegas. But I'm one of the speakers, and we're speaking just on that, how to have grit in a society such as this, just having grit in, you know, the nature. And on that same day, there is a woman's half marathon that will take place. So be sure to check that out. It's in the city of Henderson. What else? I told you about the books. Let's see. Pray that we have a great week. I want all of my school children to be good at school. Don't give the teachers a hard time. There's no fighting. Make sure that you're obedient. Make sure you work as far as the teachers that's on the line. Make sure that you're building those relationships with students. Making sure that each day each student has an opportunity to be successful. And when I say be successful, come in thinking that you're going to have a great day, and you will. And just watch your voice tone and be prepared and organized and engaging and allow the students to take ownership for their learning. And as far as our superintendents and administrators, just make sure that you treat others like you want to be treated. Make sure that you have a career in a way that you want somebody to handle your career. Make sure that you allow people to grow and not try to stun them and call in employers and all that stuff, you know. Be mature about it. Make sure that you continue to just do well and be well, you know. Take care of yourselves, work out. Matter of fact, I have homework tomorrow. Forgot about that. I've been so busy. The semester's over. I'm so excited that the semester's over. Yay! You know, I'm a continuous learner. Praying that I pass my tests. I'm going to get ready to take a few tests. And praying for great health and praying for my spiritual life as far as I want to do more for God. I feel like, you know, since the pandemic and things of that nature, that things were slow, you know, and I want to do more for God. I want to go places and serve people and bring good cheer to people, praise to people. I want all of my books to be successful. I want my family to have great health. I want us to remain focused. I want our businesses to flourish. I want our kids, our students to be successful and transition into their prospective grades. And to, I want them to seek knowledge. I want them to be peaceful. I want them to avoid conflict. I want them to be respectful as those who are teachers. I want them to continue to grow. I want them to be prosperous. I want their careers to be what they would have them to be. As far as our individuals who take care of our campuses and cook for us, the good food and all that, I want them to just know that we support them and we want them to grow and we want them to be productive and great and we want to be of service, you know. We just want the best for each person, and I believe that when you want the best for a person, I believe you'll treat them right. And, you know, and I'm still answering this question, you know that, right? I don't believe that this superintendent had that in mind. You see what I'm saying? I don't believe that she's the best fit, but that's my belief. Somebody, as I said before, she mattered to somebody. Somebody appointed her. But as a leader, you know, as an upcoming leader over many people, I want to take care of them in their careers. And I want to make sure that if it's not the right fit for them, I want to send them with a letter of recommendation to a place where they can be successful. And then even when the people call me and ask me about them, I want to be honest. You know, I don't want any crookedness and making up stuff. I don't want to do that, you know. And I thank God I started over with one of my degrees because I actually – during that time, I actually utilized or I was shadowing that person, and I don't want to be like that. I started over. I do not want to be like that. And that was a long time ago, way before this. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be that type of person. You know, I don't want to be connected like that. You know, who was your mentor? Who did you shadow? And I say that name, then it's like, no. So I started over. So I'm practicing, protesting, and all that good stuff. I know that God says I'm ready, and I believe that, but I want to – I'm going to practice some more, and but it'll be fine. And I just want to be of service. You know, I want to be of service. I want God to land and put me where he can utilize me in a way that I'll be productive for students. You know, that's my mission each and every day, you know. And when I think about the aspect, do I think about what the superintendent is doing or what this conspiracy is doing? No, but I think about my book, and I think about the impact the book's going to have. And the reason why I say that is they matter to somebody, just not to me. The book matters to me because it's my story. And I want to help others. That's why the book matters. And the book is actually what is transpiring, what is going on. But I always want the best for people. You know, I never want people to feel like that I want to destroy their character, I want to destroy their career, none of that. I've always felt very passionate about that. And you know, I've always also believed that there are good people out there. And the good people may not, it'll be the people you least expect, you know. You asked that question a while ago, what do you do when these people have recruited some of the people that you have to see every day? You don't do anything. You just make sure that you keep your eyes and ears open. That's it. Your job is not to do anything, right? Because you know. You know, you understand exactly, you know, what's occurring, what's transpiring, what's going on. You understand that. So that's just how it is, you know. And so, yeah, that's just how it is. But that's it. I mean, there's really nothing more to say about that. It's just how it is. Mm-hmm. So, that's it. So, I was looking to see if there's anything else that I need to talk about. Let me see. I don't think that's... Oh, yeah, I already said that. That our semester's over. Yay! It's not over for school, but it's over for us, right? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. But anyway, yeah, I'm pretty excited about everything, you know. I know that there are some good things that's coming. You know, I don't focus on that. I really don't, because I know the motive and I know that who it is. Focus on that, but I focus on God, and that's what I want to do more of, is focus on God. And I want to start back with my newspaper. I want to start back visiting places where I provide reviews and promote different singers and authors and writers and actors and actresses, and just put that behind. You know, with me, and you know, it's a thing that I have with God, and I asked God, I said, I want to have the best heart. That's physically and also how I deal with people. What I know and what I understand, none of those people play a significant role, as I said before, in my life. And so I pray to God and I ask God, I said, I don't want them to ever play a role in my life. I don't want them to play the good guy nor the bad guy in my life. As a matter of fact, I don't want him in my life at all. And sometimes you have to do that in order to be prosperous. You have to remove those barriers. I gave them an example of when I ran that trail. When I ran that trail, you know, there are some things that was on the trail that shouldn't have been, you know, like branches and all that stuff. Matter of fact, I tripped twice. That's what I was saying. And so you have to remove things that, or people that are not adding value to your life. We talked about that, and it's not making friends with someone just so that it's not just making friends with someone just so that you can feel just because of what they can do for you. That's not it, you know. It's basically finding those people who are cheering for you in secret, cheering for you in public. You don't want somebody cheering for you in public and then hiding in the dark trying to sabotage your career in secret. You know, I like genuine people because I'm a very genuine. I've never tried to sabotage anybody's career, not even after I found out who it was. I would never do that because, first of all, it's childish. Second of all, you know, I'm practicing to be a superintendent one day, and I don't want nobody doing me like that, you know. Some things are just childish. But as I said before, the book is to let people know that we're all not like that. You know, we're not from the same space. And we all are not money hungry. Some of us actually work. Some of us actually are blessed, you know, or we appreciate what God has given us, you know. And so that's what I want to convey. But I really appreciate your support at the award ceremony. I am a member of that organization at the university, and I appreciate your attendance there. I appreciate your attendance at the church event that we had in Fort Worth. But listen, there is another event. Let me look at my calendar. I think on the 15th at the church. Yes, yeah, on the 15th. So we're going to go to that. They want the Whitney Houston song. And so, yeah, they want the Whitney Houston song. So I'm going to go ahead and do that one. And there's another song I'm looking on here. I know the Whitney Houston song's one, though. But I'll let you know. I'll let you know about that. Be sure to tune in this week as we're going to interview a couple of individuals. I need to set up the interview dates and all that good stuff. Be sure to tune in, and we're going to have a special Christmas edition. I'm going to play many of Whitney Houston's songs. This particular holiday season, I'm going to be working on projects and books because I need to get those books out. I need to make sure that everything is completed. As I said before, I had a publisher paid in full, but I want to make sure the editing and all that is great. What else do we have? Let me see. I'm looking on my calendar. Okay, our family event is going to be, okay, we're taking the kids skating on, give me just a second. We're taking the kids skating on the 11th, December the 11th. The kids are going skating. Okay, December 18th, I am booked. That's my birthday pampering day. let's do the 21st. No, I said the 23rd is the talent show, the family talent show. That's where you upload your videos and we vote. And I'm not going to upload any of my videos because these are just examples of what you can do. So on the 23rd and then the 25th, God's will, is Christmas. We're going to pass out gifts to each other. We're going to meet in Dallas, and then we'll come back. The 28th. Shouldn't basketball tournaments be going on? Don't we have a cousin or somebody? If you have a basketball schedule and you're playing in the tournament, then let me know because we're going to try to attend. And then, of course, the 30th, well, the 31st, we spoke about firecrackers and things of that nature. So we should have a family event on that day. And that's it. That's our December. And we're going to have the radio, of course, and we're going to have interviews, several interviews. But I'm going to be studying, and I'm going to what else am I going to do? I'm going to be studying, praying, and I'm going to be on the radio. My tours and things will start back in January, God's will, on the weekends, of course. But we have a couple of church events. Okay, the church event in Atlanta. I need to know how many of you are coming with the team so that we can – we've already booked the tickets, but several of you, 10 more of you wanted to come. And so the reason why I asked is because our cousin lives about 100 miles away from where we're supposed to be. So they're going to bring their company van to pick us up. And so we need to know where you guys are. And then we need to plan for our family reunion in 2022, God's will. One of the things that I have listed here is we said that we was going to still have a talent show. And you guys wanted me to do some song, two or three songs, and I can do that, God's will. And then you said that we wanted the jumpy house still. You said that we wanted the dance contest, musical chairs. What else did this? Musical chairs. Also the jump ropes, the dancing when we come in, the red carpet. We'll put that down. As far as the menu, let me look and see. Menu for family reunion. Okay. We have this menu on a spreadsheet. And give me just a second because many of you already put in the foods that you're bringing, but it's like it's loading slow or something. I don't know what it's doing. Give me just a second, because I have it saved on my phone. Okay, so far we have chicken spaghetti casserole, scalloped potatoes, crispy fried chicken, minty watermelon salad, pineapple casserole, King Ranch chicken, chocolate ice cream cake, creamy dill cucumber salad. We have pan sausage. I'm going to come back to the food right quick. So the things that we're going to bring, first aid kit, a camera, a football, beach gear, pack of cards, board games, baked spaghetti recipe, Italian stuffed shells with meat and cheese, creamy chicken tortilla soup. Didn't we already say that? Steak. Oh, they're going to barbecue a steak. We're going to have chicken. For the breakfast, we're going to have waffles. We're going to have a fish fry. Well, a seafood. It's not fish. It's going to be seafood. As far as drinks that we can mention for us, we're going to have tea, Gatorade, Zero. Somebody said Kool-Aid. Okay, whatever. Kool-Aid. I already said tea. Okay, that's what we're going to have. Let's see here. I'm going to try to pull this up. So I'm trying to still pull up our spreadsheet. As far as, while I try to pull up the spreadsheet, we've collected 2,000 so far, and that's with our treasurer. We're not going to mention who the treasurer is, but we've collected 2,000, and our goal is 10. Give me just a second. I'm still trying to pull it up. Okay. Crispy fried chicken, bacon pea salad. deviled eggs, a strawberry cake, 3-bean baked beans, fruit salad, orange gelatin pretzel salad. That's that Bama. That's my cousin from Alabama. Macaroni salad, cherry bars, baby back ribs, avocado salad, zucchini, lemonade. Okay, lemonade. Yeah, we'll have that. Creamy dill cucumber salad. I might make that tomorrow. That sounds good. We already said fried chicken. Iced raspberry tea. We're going to have chocolate peanut butter sheet cake. We're going to have dips like pickled green beans with smoked salmon dip. Give me just a second. Okay. We're going to have watermelon salad. We're going to have hash browns. That's going to be for breakfast, though. That's not going to be. Pineapple casserole. We're going to have smoked salmon, deviled eggs with dill, barbecue, orange lemonade. Oh, that's going to be so good. Mushroom casserole. And let's see what else we put. Cornbread salad. And we're going to have mustard potato salad and southern cheese spread, tomato salsa. We're going to have plenty of food. Okay, so ribs, grandma's corn pudding. Ooh. Okay, so we're going to have, so far, that's the recipe. That's the menu. I was looking at, someone sent me a recipe too. I don't know who sent this recipe. Okay, someone sent me a recipe. I have no idea who. But anyway, so we have all that. And as far as the places, I'm going to give you 10 places that people put in for. Give me just a second. So my computer's being slow today for some reason. Let's see. What did you put in the chat? What did it say? Yeah, I'm gonna show everyone the 10 places. Give me just a second. It should be coming up in a minute. Oh, thank you. You were looking at it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Be sure while we wait on this to go to YouTube, and you'll see on YouTube some videos, and be sure to upload on your YouTube some of the videos that you want to enter in the contest, and then send them to me. And we will judge, and I'm not in the contest. I'm not going to be in the contest at all. Okay, let's see. Just a second. Okay, our time's almost up on here. We might have to go to Zoom in a few minutes because we have 26 minutes. Okay, we said Illinois, Colorado, Wisconsin, South Lake Tahoe in California, Disney Resort and Spa. We said Florida. We said the Ritz, Big Cheddar Lodge in Missouri. Let's see what else. Wintergreen Resort, Omni Mount, Washington Resort. Let's look in Texas. We said 10 places in Texas, too. And then, so I want you guys to vote. Oh, then Las Vegas. Oh, my gosh, we would never get anything done. let's see. Just a second. Okay, let's see. I see your chat. You just put in 5. Okay. Our goal is 10,000. Okay. So the Southern Cross in Dallas, the Shady Lakes Ranch and Resort, Sandy Lake Amusement Park, Six Flags in San Antonio, SeaWorld, Crown Plaza, Moon River Ranch in Satin, no. Because we have too many family members for that, we would, I don't know the capacity, but it just wouldn't be good. Let's see. So we have several different places to choose from. Let me see. There's some in Belton, cabins, and things of that nature. So just be thinking. I was just giving you a ballpark of like an update of our reunion plans and the food that we're going to bring. We'll continue to have the spreadsheet as an email, continue to add with foods if you haven't already. And somebody forgot to put lemon cake. she just put it down there. There you go. Okay. Let's see. Give me just a second. The Rambling Rose Ranch is a good place. The Pecan Springs Ranch is a good place. Let's see here. Okay, she put the lemon cake. All right. Okay. So this is good. So we have that. And just make sure that if you want to donate towards the family reunion, whatever you donate, just put it, give it to our treasurer, send it to our treasurer. And as far as games, let me go over the games, the other games, because somebody just sent that in. I didn't have that list at first, but somebody just sent it. Egg and Spoon Race, Pictionary, Uno, Kickball, Water Balloon Toss, Family Talent Show, Storytime, Scavenger Hunt. We're going to make a family album. That's another thing. What'd she say? okay. We're going to take, we are taking pictures, family photos, so we have a photographer there. So just make sure that we all have shirts. Okay, so the shirts, here's another thing. Okay, let me, so many things are going on here. Okay, so let me tell you the other games, and then we'll go to the shirts. Okay, so games. We're going to play baseball, too. And we're going to have a basketball tournament, and I will make the brackets to make sure it's fair. Let's see here. Bake-off. Oh, we're going to have a bake-off. We're going to have a movie night, outdoor movie night. What else? Okay. So that's about it for now. And then our T-shirts will say... Okay, so I have several different designs and several different colors, T-shirt, black T-shirt. We have all different colors. So what's going to happen is I will send out the 5 most popular colors of shirts, and then you will vote on those. That way we'll have at least a ballpark figure of what most people like. Okay. We have white, black, navy, gray, and red. White, black, navy, gray, and red are our popular shirts. Okay. So we'll have a vote on those colors. And then we'll select which shirts that we want, okay? So I think I gave you an overview of everything that's going on and things that are going. So be sure to just tune in tune in with me this week as we will interview individuals. We'll have Praying with Love and Power. We'll have book study. We'll have some educational things going on. So please be sure to tune in. If you want to be on the international radio show, you can email me at emonya_love@yahoo.com. emonya_love@yahoo.com. I would love to have you on the show. And if you have ideas for the parent reunion, then that same email, emonya_love@yahoo.com. Be sure to call somebody, text somebody, tell somebody about this particular show idea. And if you have any questions, just email me. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in. And stay tuned for the movie that we will watch this week, probably Friday. Stay tuned for that because I'm going to send the link. Do not watch the movie before Friday because we want to watch it together. Okay? All right. Thank you. Bye-bye, everybody. If someone asks you what that big, beautiful smile is all about, you tell them that love lifts you up because God is love. Till next time, which is tomorrow, take care of yourselves and each other. This is your host, Dr. Arita. Love.